everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague and friend, Jove Bell, who's really freaking tired. We are women and words. Jove, what's up? Why are you so tired?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it has something to do with the fact that I am old and out of shape.
Dang it.
And I know it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But, you know, we had a good holiday. Did you have a good holiday?
Yes. I'm still recovering. I was telling you earlier that, we're now watching, we're binge watching. I spent the holiday with RG and her family, and we're binge watching the Great British Baking Show. Now, friends, before you get freaked out and start yelling at me that it's the Great British Bake Off, when the show was put on Netflix and PBS picked it up, they could not use Bake Off because that is actually trademarked by Pillsbury. And Pillsbury was like, hell no, you don't get to use Bake Off. So that's the same show, it's just different titles, okay? So on American TV, it's the Great British Baking Show.
No.
It's the same, the Bake Off. Just so you know, don't freak out, okay? I don't want purists to get all...
Okay.
And I know we have listeners over the pond.
I am not a purist about anything, first of all. So I think we're safe as far as I'm concerned. But second, goddamn Pillsbury.
I know, right?
And their need to, like, just own everything.
Just have to need it. We're going to own everything. And anyway, I was telling Jove that, RG, as a lot of you know, because we just released a book of her recipes, but RG is a trained chef. She did go to culinary school. And so she really enjoys these baking shows. And I got to tell you something. I am really loving the British Bake Off. It's like so much different than American quote unquote reality shows, because it's like you actually, they take time with the judges to explain the process, and the judges really sit and they're like teaching and mentoring the people too. And they're like, they may critique you, but they're also giving you really good advice. Like, okay, the reason your cake looks a mess is because of this. And then they'll turn the cake over and go, you didn't let the dough rise quite enough, and that's why it split right here. And it's like really great because you learn stuff, and I'm learning stuff. So, and then they're like all really helpful with each other. And then when they have to cut people, everybody cries and they do a group hug, and it's just like, not at all what you see in Americans, who are like totally bloodthirsty to win the goddamn competition. And I don't know, it's just kind of refreshing.
That's actually why I like The Voice, which is obviously not a baking show, it's a singing show, but it's the same thing. There's lots of hugging and support and whatever. are still Americans, so who knows what takes place on camera, they look amazing. They look like they're really just enjoying one another and whatever. But I think the big highlight of my holiday was?
Okay, tell me.
So Mini Mike, who is our he's not a foster kid, but you know, he's with us.
Yeah, he's with you now.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to adopt him. I think I told you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but,
you did.
But anyway, this on Thanksgiving, he spent a good 2.5 hours with his maternal grandparents. It's the first time he's been willing to see any member of his biological family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, when we picked him up, he was happy. He was in a good mood. He was in, you know, he enjoyed the visit and came home in good spirits. And yeah. So,
did he tell you anything about
the visit?
Was he specific about how it went?
Not too much. He talked about the dog more than anything, because, you know, realistically, he probably went to see the dog more than anything. But he's a 13-year-old boy who's, you know, yeah, whatever. But he came home. He was happy. He was, you know, he shared his chocolate with me. He got chocolate from his grandparents, and he shared it with me. Unsolicited. He just, you know, sort of snuck it in. It was very, very sweet. And it's, you know, Mini Mike is one of those people that totally telegraphs how he's feeling. Like, there's no doubt in your mind if he's having a rough day. His whole body deflates.
Aww.
And yeah, it's, but you know what I mean? Like, you can tell if something's gone right or if something's gone
right,
wrong.
Right.
And he was just, I was just so pleased that it went well. And, you know, his grandparents actually referred to him the entire time as Michael. They didn't
did they use his pronouns, his correct pronouns?
I believe they tried. That's a hard hard switch, and it's not necessarily a resistance to it's just whatever. I mean, they were trying really hard to respect who he is, and
that's good. They made an effort. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, and you know, I talked to them a little bit after the fact, and I just, you know, after we got home, I just, you know, he came home. He was in a really good mood. He had a really good time with you folks. I'm really glad it went well. He wants to do it again. He's open to seeing you all again, which I was afraid he wouldn't be. You know, I was afraid that this was going to be a one and done kind of deal, just because, you know, I just wasn't sure how it would go. And I'm really, really happy about it. And I think they were surprised too, that we were so open to, you know, them spending time with them. I think they thought that we were, you know, a part of trying to isolate him from his family, which we would never do. But, you know, they don't know us. They don't know anything about us other than, you know, one conversation that, you know, was in a very tense setting with a, you know, trying to figure out where the kid was going to live after his mom was scooped up by the cops. So, yeah, well, it's
good for him. I'm glad. Wow.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. It's a big victory for us, for my family. We are just really, really, really thankful. Thanksgiving for us is a pretty casual affair. We don't do any big, I mean, we get together with family, obviously. We have, you know, we do all the family stuff, but it's not a super fancy event. Like, I wore sweatpants. I wear sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Those are your Thanksgiving pants. I'm just saying.
Yes, they are. We got together with family. We all got to think about what we're grateful for. And, you know, it's always nice to take a moment and say those things out loud and for around the people that you are truly thankful for. So it was good. It was a really good holiday.
Yay!
Yeah. Yay is right.
That's awesome. Really glad. Glad Thanks. To hear that.
Thanks.
Well, while we're on the subject, I'm grateful for you.
Are you? I don't know why. I make your life so much harder most of the time.
I'm grateful for you because you are upfront with everything and because you do really nice covers for our books.
Oh, well, all right. Thanks. I'm thankful for you because you field yes, all the
think about it, guys.
No, I don't have to think about it at all because you field all of the new submissions and then I don't have to try and figure out the right way to respond to people.
Nope. I could do that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I would much rather make a cover than try to explain to somebody why their dedication and hard work isn't quite right for. Because it doesn't matter. For me, you know, I just worry that, you know, telling somebody that the something that they worked so hard on isn't a good match, no matter how many.
Yeah, well, it's not a good match. It's like.
I know, but I just worry that it's breaking somebody's heart.
No, I always give them, look, I think you should try these presses.
Yeah.
I think you're a much better match for that. So I never send people away with just a no, thank you. I like give them feedback on the manuscript and I offer like other publishing houses that they might find a better fit for their work.
Yeah. You're amazing.
A lot of stuff we get like 99.9% of what we get is literary fiction. And that's not really what we do as a publisher for Dirt Road Books. I mean, don't get me wrong. Literary fiction is a great thing, but it's not quite, you know, what we're focusing on right now. So I send them to houses that are doing that.
So
and
wait,
that's another tip.
Did you hear all of that just happened? Tara walked in singing Lizzo. Did you hear?
I did hear it. Tell her Lizzo is awesome.
Yeah, oh, of course. Lizzo is the baddest of all the badasses. But did you really want to hear Tara walking in the room singing Good as Hell?
I think it's hell yeah.
Hell yeah. She said it's all good. And our listeners are happy to hear from you, Tara. This is what happens when I move all of my stuff up into the main office upstairs out of my little
cubicle downstairs.
Wait a minute, you moved?
Yeah, I moved you upstairs. Moved? I told you about this weeks ago. I didn't. Okay, you can be in the room, but you can't be doing all these noisy things.
You said you were going to move. You didn't say you had done it.
No, oh, no, I didn't do it. I told Tara, God, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the only thing I wanted for Christmas, period, was to have my computer, my office, moved upstairs into the office with her. That's what I wanted. Because Tara's the person who can make shit like that actually happen. And 2 or 3 days later, it was done. So wow. I got all I want for Christmas is already here and done. And I'm really enjoying the relocation.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay.
I'm enjoying it, except I'm not enjoying it because now my kids play on my computer along with Tara's. Before it was separate and they didn't go in my office. They didn't try to use my computer. And now they come in here and they play Minecraft on both computers so they can both be playing at the same time. And then I come back and all of my settings are different and I can't figure out how to like hear things and my microphone is turned off and they've just changed everything. And it's super, super confusing. But yeah, other than that, it's great. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to change your whatever. Tara is a disruption when she walks in a room.
Hey, so is Lizzo.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm just saying.
You know what? The world needs to be disrupted in a Lizzo kind of way. I saw she did one of those Tiny Desk concerts, you know, with the I think they call them sessions, Tiny Desk session, whatever, for NPR.
Yep.
And
yep.
It was seriously like going to church, only like the very, very best church experience you could ever imagine. Like it was moving in the way that churches should be moving, right? And it just felt good. And I felt like it was transformative. It was so cool. It was such a good experience. And
nice.
And that was over, you know, like I said, that was a Tiny Desk. It wasn't even an actual concert, but I was just like, I will spend money to see this woman in concert if she's ever coming nearby.
Oh, hell yeah. Same.
Yeah. Wow. I did not know that until I saw that. Because, you know, you can enjoy somebody's music and not want to see them in concert.
Well, I was listening to My Favorite Murder podcast.
Yeah.
And Karen and Georgia, who host it, were talking about how they had seen Lizzo in concert, and it's like a religious experience.
Yeah, it is.
You absolutely. I am so... Seriously, you're right. If Lizzo is anywhere near me for a concert, I am going to that concert.
Well, you know, I hadn't really paid attention to her music. I mean, I paid attention to her in so much as I knew she sang a couple of songs that were pretty popular, but I didn't really know that much about her. And two of the three songs that she sang, I'd never even heard before. And I was still completely drawn into the experience. I was compelled. So, and that's always the thing, right? If you're going to go see somebody in concert, you want to know the music well enough to be a part of the experience. And if not, you want the entertainer to draw you in and captivate you. And I was enthralled, and I would love to see her live.
Mm.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Mostly because she did that thing that I can never pull off, where you got I got the very distinct impression that this is a woman of faith, that she has a very strong sense of who she is in her relationship with God, right? But at the same time, every time she talked about the concert, she'd say, "Here I am at this tiny ass desk." she was irreverent, and she swore, and she talked about being brokenhearted, and she was vulgar, and yet at the same time had such a clear spiritual sense. Like, it was just, it was cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hang with her.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Anyway.
How did we get on? So, oh yeah, Tara.
Oh, okay. Tara walked in singing good as hell. What are you going to do?
Child, I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
Like, and you know how it's so empowering for women.
Yeah.
You know, And if you've seen the video, it's so great. It's like all these women of color at a beauty shop, at a salon, and all the different hairstyles, and you know how it's just like these women are like bonding with each other over whatever shitty things have happened and making each other look and feel good. And it's just like such a great song and such a great video.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video. Now I want to. I remember the song that she did in the concert that just really connected. Like, you know, what is the song? It starts out, "Why men great till they gotta be great." What is that song? Doesn't matter. Anyway, everybody knows that line, right? And it just sounds like she's just sort of yelling.
Truth hurts.
Yes. Song. It just sounds like she's sort of yelling this line at the beginning of the song. And then you see her sing it, like actually do the performance. And she is, her whole person is in that line. It's visceral. And it's like, you know, yeah, that was the thing for me. It's like, she's just really just screaming about this inconvenient thing that's happening in her world. So
yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, she's so good. Sorry. So good.
It's such a digression.
So y'all need to listen to Lizzo and see her in concert. I'm just saying. Okay. Oh, thanks, Tara, for the distraction.
Speaking of
distractions. Hi, friends. This is Women in Words.
Did we not even do that part?
I did say we're with Women in Words. I asked you why you were so tired, but it occurred to me that here we are out in the damn weeds. Yeah, that's kind of how this works for women in weeds, women and words. And we talk about what's on the blog at womenwords.org, but clearly we talk about other shit too. So welcome to our world.
Yeah. The podcast is all about following the blog, which is about, it's dedicated to women with words. You know, it's
words, you know, and women.
Feminist messaging for the most part, women and books and literary observations, but also just truths.
Irreverent.
Yeah.
Irreverent cray.
And
anyway, that's who we are. Love ya.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And okay.
Should we just jump into this and then we'll do some little newsy announcements and wrap it up at the end? How's that?
It feels like we need to.
Okay, let's do it.
Do it.
All right, friends. We're going to freaking do this now. Coolio, November 25th, Renee Bess stopped by, and we love Renee. If you have not read any of Renee's work, please, reneebess.com, go check out her books. And this particular blog, Renee gets really deep.
Yeah.
She goes really deep. And she says that the title of this blog is "When Things Go Wrong, We Write." And what she means by that is, recent events in the publishing world made her think about the topic of a presentation she delivered last July, and that was at the Golden Crown Literary Society's annual conference. That one was in Pittsburgh. This upcoming one, friends, 2020 in July, is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I will be there. We're hoping Jove can make it, but she may not. But I will be there for sure. So stop on by and visit. Renee explored the connections that exist between political oppression and economic inequality and literature, which is so interesting. And she researched the artistic output during the Harlem Renaissance, which was like, Renee has 1918 to about 1935, and the Black Arts Movement, 1960 to 1975, and she suggested that once again, the collective we, find ourselves enmeshed in a challenging political economic environment, one that threatens to eclipse the post-World War I breadlines and the racial strife of the 60s and 70s. I predicted, she says, we were on the precipice of another period of prolific literary and artistic production from the pens and paintbrushes of Americans, straight as well as queer. And I think she's right, because, and you and I've had this conversation, Jove, that I said when there's shitty times happening, that's when you most need creative expression, and that's when a lot of us go to creative expression for self-care and for resistance.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. What's your sense on that?
You know what's, well, I think that's accurate. And I think it's really interesting too, because when things are going really well, you see artists being able to earn more of a living with their art, right? But then economically, when we're all feeling a little bit more comfortable, we spend more money on art. But when things are when we're feeling strife, for example, when the most right-wing lunatic gets elected in our country, the dissident voices rise up and it becomes less about, am I able to be economically solvent with my art, and more about how do I express what I'm feeling and get this out of my chest? How do I get it out of me and into the world? And so there is this prolific upsweep. It's really interesting that there is what drives that bump in activity isn't our ability to be safe and solvent and earn a living with our art. It comes from just this need to speak.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Renee says that, she says, I'm sticking to the premise that times of struggle inspire more new literature than do periods of prosperity and goodwill.
She's right.
I think so too. We LGBTQ writers will confront economic and political repression with our stories, poems, essays, and plays. Rejecting the hateful language and inhumane gestures and acts we witness each day will push us to give life to books whose characters will embody our resistance to racist ideologies, heterosupremacy, income and educational inequalities, and xenophobic attitudes and attacks. I agree.
I think all those words are powerful.
Well, it's Renee. I mean, Renee is one of those people, friends. She's a visionary and a prophet in some ways, I think. And when you're around her, this like sense of, you and I both have had this experience around Renee. I mean, the first time I met her, it was like this overwhelming sense of calm and, oh, thank God. Like, Renee's here. We're fine. we're gonna be fine. I was like you know, because when she shows up, it's like, wow, everything's so great and mellow now.
Yeah,
I can do this.
That's totally true. She's, you know, she had an entire career where it was her job to wrangle teenagers, and that ain't no small thing. So I'd like to say that I'm easier to wrangle than a teenager, but the reality is I'm not. And it takes a great deal of, you know, skill, and she has it. So there's
that. She has it. She's got the gift. She's got the gift for just reaching people in ways that you would never have thought.
Yeah.
So thank you, Renee, for that reminder. I know a lot of us who are in marginalized communities do, at least, you know, I turned to, like, I mean, my escape was writing fanfic when the shit hit the fan and we ended up with a really horrific administration. And I have written these epically long fanfics, but in so doing, you know, there was no pressure. It was just, I wanted to get something out to the world to help it heal in some way. And it was really satisfying to me to post these giant ass fanfics for free, because that's what fanfic is. You can't make profit off it. But I just felt like so connected to a community by doing that. And it just made me feel better. Like, I felt better inside than I had in so long. So I think I absolutely agree that when shit is real, that's when the creatives among us, and everybody has some form of creativity. You just have to find what your medium is going to be. That in times like this, it's super important to tap into that. And it's also important to support those people who are creating stories and movies in times like this, because if you don't do that, you could lose it. It could be suppressed and forced underground. And these are very real, scary times. And people don't really realize that, you know, you can't just blow it off because there are things happening that we don't even know about or see that are no doubt putting, you know, more and more restrictions on expression. So just be aware of that and support it. If you're not really feeling the creativity, support others who do it to make sure that the stories continue to circulate.
Yeah. Well, what was I going to say? It was something awesome. Just, you know, you were talking about how you've channeled more of your creative energy into writing fanfic, which is, you know, you've posted some absolute opuses on fanfic sites.
I know, right?
Which, again, it's free, but the reason that you've done it is because you wanted to lift some spirits. And something else that you've done, and I've done to a lesser extent, I think, is, you know, we've encouraged the work of other authors, and we've published quite a few books that aren't our own creative effort, and by quite a few, mm-hmm. let's please scale that. It's not like we've done a ton. We've just done, you know, it takes a lot of effort to get somebody else's work to publication. It's not a mm-hmm. it's not a small job. So I feel really good about the fact that we're doing things that are good for the community as a whole,
right,
in general.
And well, and that's what art is. It's not just about the artist's personal journey. Mm-hmm. It's also about the community and where that art fits in that community, and also what messages it is saying, because all art, no matter what form it takes, is an expression of current times. Mm-hmm. It's part of that context. That's why artists go through different phases, and that's why writers go through different phases, because they're impacted at various times of their lives by external forces as well as internal.
Yeah.
So your evolution as an artist, regardless of what form it is a product of what's happening in your life at that time. So yes. That was fucking deep. What the hell? Oh my God.
Well, thanks to Renee for, you know, prompting right, thanks, a conversation that I think everybody needs to be having.
I agree. That it's mm-hmm. an important conversation, and it's just a reminder to us all. I support other people's art. I'm an artist myself, but I support other people's art. So, you know, get the stories out there, and please support them financially. I mean, it's so much better if you don't pirate stuff. Come on, guys. If you can't afford something, you and I have said this many times, if you want one of our books, just let us know and we'll hook you up. Yeah. I'd much rather give you something than have you download it illegally.
Yeah, because, you know, the reality is if you contact me and, you know, you're in a place where you just can't, I get that. I've been in that place. I'm very, very happy mm-hmm. to you know, help when somebody else is in that place. But when you go out to, you know, an illegal download site, you're giving the power to people who didn't do any of the creative work. You know, whoever uploaded that is taking ownership of the creative product and saying that it said that they believe that it's theirs to distribute. And the messaging there is, well, it's just... It has nothing to do with the monetary. It has everything to do with just the moral implications of claiming rights to somebody else's property. It's not cool.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's, I mean, we're all about getting stories out there, but not like that, friends. Let's do it.
For real.
And give agency to the people who created that art.
Exactly.
Don't take that agency away from them. That's just not groovy, not cool at all. And it's just a really shitty thing to do, especially in these shitty times. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, just our little public service announcement there.
Yeah. Ooh,
okay. November 26th, Lee Lynch, who we love as well.
Yes, did, we do.
This one's called The Terminator, because, like, I guess Lee, like, never goes to the movies, ever. Like, and so, but she married someone who was really a movie buff. And I'm like, well, shit, Elaine, just call me up. Come on, Lainey, we'll go to the movies. I love going to the movies. But anyway, so.
You're in the wrong time zone, dude. You're going to have to fix that.
I know. She agreed to go to the movies with Lainey, and they went to see Terminator, the latest Terminator.
Nice.
And, like, imagine. She hasn't been to the movies in like forever. She hasn't seen any of the Terminator flicks. So she goes to this one, which is like the sixth. she's like, you know, down films and the accompanying popcorn sometimes send me into deep depressions. But see, that's because Lee deals with those issues. She says that once I understood my condition, I was able to avoid them by walking out on a film like The Godfather before its corruption, sexism, and facile attitude toward violence made me head for the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Or she put it, barf room. Up films have inspired me to test my mettle. For example, after seeing Rocky, I quit a job I loved, found another that freed up more of my time, and got back to writing. Oh, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Films can inspire. That's another form of art that can inspire.
Absolutely.
And she says, I love my wife beyond measure. I want to share what she loves as she does so well for me. So I girded myself with earplugs to moderate the sensory overload, swallowed a calming prescription drug, and took a few hours off from writing to squire my sweetheart to the movies for the first time, friends, in 12 years.
Wow.
So The Terminator was my first with that franchise. My only previous experience with the film happened before the franchise was a franchise. Mm-hmm. I was in a stereo store having something repaired. Remember when people used to do that, Joe, take their stereos in for repair?
Mm-hmm. I never did it because I was poor, but I do right. I do recognize this the time and space right? in, the
idea,
in history.
The whole idea.
Yeah.
Lee says, I was surrounded, nay, assaulted by sounds and moving images. I watched a TV screen in horror as a large metal robot who would later become governor of California performed acts of greater violence than I had ever before witnessed. The soundtrack had been fine-tuned to noise level off the charts. Of all the films in the world, this new Terminator was not one I could have imagined willingly watching. The reviews were rock-bottom dismal. My sweetheart warned me about violent scenes, so I determined to filter the scary parts with humor. But the promo picture was, may I say, hot?
Yeah.
The tall, androgynous woman, the sweet-looking young woman beside her, and on her other side, the irresistible, mature, weathered woman warrior. Someone involved in the production was quoted as saying that the lesbians wouldn't be ready for this trio, but I gotta tell you, this lesbian was more than ready. Tough talking, gutsy women against a giant male machine. Oh yeah, right up my alley. Shoot him up, ladies. Bash him.
That's awesome.
Quintessential butchy heroine, young femme type, finding herself and her strength while under attack. Enraged mother avenging the loss of a child. I want to be on their team. Come an apocalypse. I want them on the Supreme Court with Ruth, Sonia, and Elena. I want them one at a time for 24 years to be president.
Right?
She says, I left the theater a little disoriented and wobbly after watching until the very last credit. But after this maiden voyage, me and my sweetheart will be going to the movies again. Right on, well, Lee.
Okay. Linda Hamilton has long been just...
Oh, God, I love her so much.
A heart-palpitating crush of mine. And she is back in top form for this movie. And I haven't seen the movie yet because I'm like Lee, I don't do movies. It's hard for me to make the time, whatever. But
it's hard. Yeah.
Just the promo that I saw where she just looks so just like a mom, right? Like just, ugh, you guys fuck this up. Just, I'll be back, right? Not like this like super serious, I'll be back, but just this,
right. I'm coming back. God, whatever. Fine. Here I am.
I gotta fix this.
I gotta deal with this because, you know, dude's fucked up. So here I am.
Exactly. It was just so, it was so perfect and sexy. And I desperately want to see this movie, but it likely will not happen until it hits my TV.
Which is fine because then you can watch it with Tara and the kids and it'll be great.
Well, yeah.
Or just have a date night with Tara, you know.
Yeah, it'll probably just be a Tara thing. My kids generally avoid us. They're at that age.
They're at that age.
And it's not like we haven't encouraged it. We've put all the toys they could ever possibly want to play with in their own rooms. So, wait a minute. Maybe we're bad parents. Oh.
No.
Oh. Tara's such a good parent. That didn't even register. She's playing a card game next to me. She didn't even look up. She's like, I don't care if I'm a bad parent. I'm playing a game. Andy says hi again. She waved. She didn't stop playing her game.
Okay. Good.
You don't rate any higher than I do.
Oh, that's fine. That makes me feel actually as part of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
Okay. Awesome. All right, friends. Thank you, Lee. Thank you for that endorsement of Terminator as well. The last, shit, I can't think of what the sub subheading is. It's just like what Terminator, Sarah Connor's back. That's what I call it.
Yeah. Badass bitches be kicking ass. What is, I don't know what it is. I'm looking it up now. Something. Dark.
Sarah's back.
Dark.
Yeah, it's just dark. Terminator Dark something.
I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Dark Moving Fate. On.
Dark Fate. Dark Fate. It was dark. Okay. Anyway. Okay. All right. Joe, November 27th. This
I blogged. Don't
take us through it. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's just a little.
Just tell us.
Okay, so here's the deal. I don't think anybody in the world at this point has been unaffected by how awful cancer is, right? Like, everybody knows somebody who is fighting it or has fought it or has lost the fight to it or, you know, whatever. Or who is high risk for, you know. You can feel a little helpless about how to deal with it, how to help. And so there's some really basic, simple things that anybody can do. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be, you know, a nurse. You don't have to be a medical professional in order to have a very real, tangible, you know, positive effect for people who are fighting cancer. So one of the simplest, easiest things, I know everybody thinks about, like, oh, you can make hats and donate hats. But another thing that you can do is make, you know, those heat packs. And they're really, really simple. Fabric, and you add rice, and that's it. And you can add some essential oils to make them smell good. I included a tutorial so people could learn how to make it really easily. If you were the type of person who donates, you could donate money. I included a link to an organization that I really value. It's MetaViver, and it's ran by a research scientist who does not draw a salary. They don't spend, like, Susan G. Komen is cool. They've spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of time on, like, outreach and awareness, and they're really, really cool. But they spend very, very, very little money on research and on, like, trying to actually find a cure. They spend a lot of money, you know, making people aware that it exists. Right, which is cool. People need to know that it's a problem. But now let's filter some money towards research. So this is the organization that I feel is doing the best work there. And then,
yes,
I
like that one.
Yeah, it's a good.
I like that. Yeah,
it's a good charity.
People, like people like me, who I'm so fucking busy all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. I do donate to a lot of smaller foundations, like state-run foundations. Like, there was this one foundation in a state that provided mammograms to low-income women, and so I donated to them quite a few times. This was after my own diagnosis. But now I just kind of do it, like, yeah, of course. And Planned Parenthood also provides mammograms and care for women who are dealing with breast cancer, and they also do screenings for other kinds of cancers. So stuff like that I try to donate to, because you're right, Komen's good, but I'm still kind of pissed at them because of that big flap they had a few years back when they, like, basically put all kinds of not so great management in place, and so I got really pissed off and switched my money to Planned Parenthood and state foundations.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm not saying that this is, like, the best one. I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with just giving money, if that's what, you know, even if it's only a $5 bill, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's $5 more than they had, and I promise you somebody is grateful for that donation. So the other thing that I remember being an actual, like, a real issue when my friend was battling cancer, when my best friend Jeanette was battling cancer, it was just getting the day-to-day life business taken care of. Like, all your chores around your house don't disappear. And there's all sorts of organizations that will do things for you. Like, there's Cleaning for a Reason. These are, like, professional cleaning services that sign up to go in and they clean houses for cancer patients for free. They just
Oh my God, that's so great.
Right? But you have to, like, look for these things. So there's the whole Mowing for a Cure. This is the We Are Raising Men. This is this great organization where this one guy just said, I'm going to mow lawns for people who need it. And that's literally his whole thing, is he just goes around and he mows lawns for, you know, people in need. And he has turned it into a nationwide organization. And they do have a portion of that is specifically for cancer patients. But my point is that these organizations exist. They're out there. You can mm-hmm. do things. You can mm-hmm. go walk somebody's dog. You can go, you know, do somebody's dishes. You can deliver a meal. You can do all these things. It's hard. It's not the easiest to find the organizations, but you can find them. And, you know, if nothing else, you can go to the local infusion center, the one that's by your house, because I promise there's one by your house.
There's one, yeah.
And ask them, and they will hook you up, right? You know, mm-hmm. there may be a cancer patient that would really just like somebody to come play a game of Pinochle with them, or mm-hmm. or read them a story, or program their damn remote because they can't figure out how to do it every other day,
by the way. I like one a lot. Because one of the things, and you're right, like I've known a lot of friends and relatives who have been affected by cancer or some other debilitating situation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that when I was going through it, one of the things that the American Cancer Society said, and, you know, they have like these little reps in hospital settings that will sit with you and kind of talk with you. And one of the things that they said was really valuable for people going through cancer, even not if they weren't like horrendously debilitated, was they were so focused on dealing with the illness that they really needed people to come into the house and do those basic chores. Mm-hmm. Because you lose, that's so not on your radar when you're dealing with the diagnosis. It's so not on your family's radar, or, you know, it's on, you know, but it's really good to volunteer your time or to find those organizations, like you say, to help them do those mundane things.
So one of the things that was really important for Jeanette when she was, mm-hmm. you know, reaching, you know, when she'd been in treatment for a couple of years already, it affects the way that your brain works. You're funneling all these chemicals into your body, and you've added all this stress because, you know, dealing with a cancer diagnosis is stressful, and it just affects the way that your brain works because it's overtaxed with many, many other things. And something that was really important to her was maintaining a personal blog so she could communicate to her friends and family what was happening with her. And she reached a point where she could no longer type up those blogs. She couldn't focus long enough to make it happen. But, you know, she could say, these are the things that I want to make sure people know about. And then I would mm-hmm. type it up for her. And you don't have to be a skilled writer to do that. You just have to, you know, be able to put together a couple sentences, maybe a bullet point, and just say, hey, this is so-and-so blogging for so-and-so, and this is what's going on. Like, there's always something you can do. Always.
Right.
So you just got to find, you know, you just got to find it. It takes a little bit of work. You could, I think a lot of churches probably have this type of outreach, you know, too. So whatever, mm-hmm. whatever thing, you know, just find a way. Then the next one I had was donating plasma. We've talked about that a little bit on here, but plasma is the thing that actually creates treatments, like cutting edge, really works treatments. This is the new stuff. And it takes a ton, literally a ton of plasma to make one treatment. Like a plasma center, like my local plasma center where I actually work, because I got a part-time job there. During the course of any day, they take in between 200 and 300 bottles of plasma. That's two to 300 people who came in and donated plasma that day. And for one treatment, it takes 2 to 3 days worth of donations from one center. Right. So,
wow.
Right. So it's not like I'm not exaggerating when I say that it takes a ton. It takes a ton of plasma. And, you know, it's a pain in the ass. The first time you go in and donate, it's just tons of paperwork and waiting and standing around. But the regulations, like when you're donating plasma, you're not just meeting like the regulations for your little pocket of the world. You're also meeting the regulations for, you know, small town Germany or wherever. Like there's worldwide, there's national, there's local, there's small town. Like there's all these different regulations. And, you know, the business of plasma treatments take place on a global scale. So when you're donating here, you have to make sure that you're meeting all the requirements everywhere.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass. That makes sense, though. It's a pain in the ass to donate the first time. You know, you're signing up. Like, I mean, you say, I'm going to go do this. You're committing to spending anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, right? That's a wow. big chunk of a day. But it doesn't take that long after that. It takes an hour, maybe an hour and a half after mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can do it twice a week. So you want to feel like you're doing something to really help fight cancer. This is the thing. And, you know, you can do it twice a week and you get paid for your time. You don't get paid for the plasma because you can't sell a body part. That's illegal. But you can you can get compensated for your time.
I'm going to rent out my arm.
But this is, you know, this is cool. Like, this is the one thing on the list that anybody can do, assuming that, I mean, there's some medical requirements you have to meet, obviously, because there's screenings. But if you're qualified to do this, you can do it actively. You can do it twice a week and go and feel like you're really doing something actively to fight cancer. And you mm-hmm. can make mm-hmm. money doing it. Like, tell me, who do you know who doesn't need, especially this time of year, an extra $300, $400 a month? Who doesn't need that? Well.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't know those people.
Yeah, so. I don't know them for sure. But this is by far the one that I most encourage people to do, because this is the medical treatment that anybody, you know, assuming that, you know, you have the right, you know, you don't have any sort of, you know, extreme medical conditions of your own, but you don't have to have money to donate. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to be able to sew together a package. You don't have to be able to do anything except sit there in a chair and watch TV. For an hour. That's all you have to get. That's it. That's all you got to be able to do. You know, but. That's awesome. They pay you for your time. And then the last thing on my list of five things is just to go shopping. Buy things that.
Oh, yes.
That
yes.
are, you know, fundraiser. You know, you don't have to buy something directly. You don't have to donate something directly. You can buy a product that will donate, you know, part of the proceeds or whatever. So.
Right.
It's. That's it. Just there's a lot you can do. So that's go forth awesome. And do it.
Go forth and be awesome. And these are really simple, great things you can do. One of my favorite things is, yeah, it's great if you can donate money, but how about donating time to someone who could really use somebody to come and like walk their dog or vacuum their house or go grocery shopping, you know, or even sit down with them and help pay the bills.
Yeah.
Like, just help with some little task that, believe me, friends, when you are diagnosed with something like that, your focus shrinks immensely to like getting through each minute of each day, dealing with doctors, dealing with medicines, dealing with preparing for surgeries and whatever the fuck else. You don't think about the laundry. You don't think about, you know, the fact that you haven't swept your floors in two or three weeks. It's just not even on your radar because it has nothing to do with life and death, but it sure does make you feel better when your house is clean.
Yeah.
It sure does make you feel better when your laundry's done. So those are simple things you can help out with.
Not only does it make you feel better when those things happen, but it also makes you feel less isolated, because having cancer can be a very isolating event, because suddenly you're no longer a part of your regular life routine, but everyone you know is continuing their life routine. So you end up feeling very isolated from your loved ones. And so having somebody come by and say, hey, I just thought I'd do your dishes. Or, you know, hey, I thought I'd stop in and visit. And oh, while I'm here, I notice your dishes need to be done. Let me do those. It makes a difference. Makes a big difference. So, yeah.
Oh, anyway, that was awesome. Thank you.
Those thinking about that stuff exhausts me. So I periodically have to put it like down on paper or cyber paper, as the case may be.
Cyber paper. Yeah. That's right. Yay. All right, friends. On November 28th, I just stopped by with a quick, you know, happy holiday if you commemorate Thanksgiving, and also to remind people to sign up for the Hootenanny. And by signing up, I mean authors. Authors, if you would like to donate a book for our giant ass giveaway that starts December 12th and goes through December 23rd, we have a sign-up sheet. It is pinned to the homepage on the Women in Words site, but we've been sending out reminders so that you get it in your inbox too. Get that done, because we are shutting that bitch down come, I think, Monday. Joe, sound good to you? Close the form.
Yeah, I will do whatever you want to do there. I think we're up.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we're up. There's around 100 people have signed up to donate. Perfect. We haven't talked to publishers yet, so I think we're hitting our.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have. Good. Okay. Cool. All right.
I have. So, yay me.
Yeah, yay you.
We've got pretty much all the ones lined up that we usually have. So yeah, I've taken care of that. And nice. I don't know if you noticed, but I've also taken care of all the drafts. The drafts are now ready to go.
Holy shit. No, I didn't notice. Damn, girl. Okay.
Yeah, now we just need to organize what we're giving away each day. So at the end of this lovely recording, just send me the list and I will start getting that ready too.
Yeah.
But that reminds me, the point being, friends, the Hootenanny starts December 12th.
Yeah.
So that's why Jove and I have to shut down the form like at least 2 weeks in advance, a couple weeks in advance, because otherwise our eyeballs shake.
Oh my goodness.
And right?
It's so the fucking December. Oh.
Yeah. December. Damn. Tomorrow. December starts tomorrow. So that's why we're shutting the form down. And you know, we start advertising it, what, Joe? On the 1st of November? Middle of November?
Yeah, I don't remember.
This one we started in October.
Yeah.
We generally start talking about it September, and then Joe put the form up like the middle of October, and it's been up for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And we have to cut it off because otherwise we just would not be able to do this. It would be completely overwhelming. Anyway. So that was what that was. That was just remembered. Authors, get your signups in so we can get you signed up for this and get you posted for the giveaways.
Yeah. That's it. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. We're at the end of the week.
No, one more.
No.
No, we got.
No.
We got one more.
No. The 30, that's, no, that's it. That's the 29th.
No, that's the 28th. The 29th was yesterday, friends. And the 29th, I just wanted to remind people that our own Women in Words and Dirt Road Books' own R.G. Emanuel, chef, author, Women in Words, sir, released it's now available. We had it on pre-order. It's now available all around the world. Her book of recipes, A Year in the Kitchen with R.G. Emanuel, based on recipes that she designed for the newsletter for Dirt Road Books in our first year. And they are recipes that she designed along with certain seasons or based on scenes or food from specific short stories that Dirt Road Books authors wrote. $3.99 will buy you this groovy little book of recipes, and all of those proceeds go to Oregon Food Bank. That's our charity project this year, and we're very excited about it. So please think about, you know, if you'd like to get some great recipes and contribute to a great cause, that's the book for you. And there's a link there to purchase it on Amazon, which is one of the fastest ways you can get that taken care of. But it is available on multiple platforms. It's ebook only, $3.99. All proceeds, Oregon Food Bank. Did you want to add anything to that, Joe?
Well, I think we should explain why you picked RG picked the Oregon Food Bank. None of us live in Oregon. I think I'm the closest because I live in Washington, and the Oregon Food Bank is based out of Portland, and I'm in the Portland metro area, technically, as far as the census is concerned. But the reason that we chose this, and by the way, y'all chose it without me knowing. I didn't realize that this was even one of the contenders. No, it's what? Good. It's good. No, it's good. It's good. It's good. But I'm just saying that I didn't pick it, even though I'm physically closest, is what I'm trying to say. It's that the reason we picked it wasn't because of physical proximity to any of us. We chose it because of the work that they do as an organization. They specifically, and they make a point of their mission, is that they want to address hunger amongst the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
In fact,
that is part of their mission.
Yeah. Right now, if you go to like their main website, one of their main talking points right now is they're talking about hunger in the trans community. And you know, there's a lot of information that goes with this, but basically it's just like, you know, it's a margin, the LGBTQ plus community is marginalized, mm-hmm. and that affects the community in terms of hunger and issues with hunger,
mm-hmm.
and they are very dedicated as an organization to addressing that specifically, which is mm-hmm. unique in the world of food banks. So that is why we chose them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really great. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's again, for $3.99, you get this great little ebook and you can tweak the recipes as you see fit. There's a couple mm-hmm. of drink recipes. There's like a couple of main courses. There's some appetizers, some side dish courses. Tweak them, do whatever. And guess what else you could do? you can also just contact RG directly and ask her, you know, how would you tweak this if you have any questions? RG's very accessible that way. You mm-hmm. can find her online at RG Emmanuel, like on Facebook and on Twitter, and you can just drop us a line at Women in Words and we can hook you up with her. If you have any culinary questions, she's the one to ask. Yeah. So, yeah, we're very excited about this.
Yeah. All these recipes were her creation. This is what she, you know, she's a trained chef. These are recipes that she created, and she's donating the proceeds from it to, you know, a really worthy cause. So
we're stoked.
Yeah, I'm really proud of this. She and I had a conversation about this earlier. Well, actually last week, but it went live on as a podcast for Dirt Road Books earlier this week. But it was just, I am super, super, super proud to even have this association. I feel really, really lucky to know her and to be a part of this, because there's a whole layer of kindness and generosity here that is, it's pretty damn impressive. It's pretty amazing. You know, if you're questioning your faith in humankind, this right here should really do a lot to make you feel better about people as a species, because this is no small thing.
It is not. And we're really stoked.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's it. All. Now I can wrap this shit up.
You can wrap it up. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So I hope you all had a happy holiday if y'all are the ones who celebrate Thanksgiving. And if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I totally respect that. For us, it's about family and coming together. But I get that it's not the best holiday for a lot of people. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm. Okay. Mm. Anyway, now that I've put my foot thoroughly in that...
Tight.
This has been the Weekend Review for Women in Words. I am Jove Bell here today with Andy Marquette. You can find us online at womenwords.org. You know what I need? I need a voice coach to teach me when to breathe. It's always so awkward when I'm speaking and I have to stop to breathe. It's like this word. It's a thing. Yeah. So anyway, please, dear listener, if you've enjoyed this podcast, which I question... Seriously,
I question your sanity.
I do question
your taste.
I do, but if you do enjoy it, please leave a review or a rating or a comment or any combination of those things to help the other lesbians of the internet to find us. Until next week, thank you so much for listening.